He's kissing ass and he can't make it. He's because the town. He's a wealthy, I mean, not wealthy, educated, highly educated person. They didn't pay him enough money to make it worthwhile. He's still trying to get money out of us, which he's not getting. We took that vote, and that's where we're standing. So I would think if anything did happen, you should stick with the leader, and know that your best protection is to stay right where you are, because America is going to hell as fast as it can. And as long as I'm on the scene and we're united, they're not going to want to have a bloodbath up here. And they're smart enough to know, because one of the people we distrust in the lower levels of government obviously communicated. He said that more or less he indicated whatever happened to me, that's what would the people's future would depend on what happened on to me, whether they would be violent or whether they would be quiet. A number of you would not be quiet, I assume. You got to let that be known no matter what happened. You got to let that be known so there would be no incentive to destroy the leader. Anybody have a question? Because I want to be sure that you understand. To kill me or to do anything against this movement would create a very bad bloodbath. They've got enough difficulties with people trying to destabilize them over there in the sugar strike. And I don't see that taking place. There's no way they could eliminate us without a hell of a lot of noise. We proved that. Remember what we saved this country for socialism.
What? Remember what you said that? He said that.
When the leaders were all out signing the Panamanian Treaty and they tried to take over this place, and you ought to be glad. And listen, believe me, I lived 7 days and seven nights without a bit of sleep, so don't worry about me dying tonight. I want you to go to bed without any worry about me dying tonight. You understand? So you can have peace. That's the major thing. That's the reason I kept you, so I could get up on my feet and show you that you're not in any danger of me dying tonight. You follow me? Now, you shouldn't be afraid to die. How many are... That's nothing. That's nothing at all. How many are... Now, honestly, you remember the other night I asked how many wanted to go back to the United States, and a couple of people told honestly. You never heard me say another word, did you? How many still have fear with death? Because we want to help you. Penny, that's right. We'll take your name down so we can help you. No discipline. Who's back there? Can't. Beverly Livingston? Yeah, they're good workers. Who is it? Will you take it down? Toy Fonzel? You folks can sit down. I've got no more to say to you. You haven't created any unpardonable sin. Richard, who? I got a little pain. Doctor said the intracranial bleeding, which I had, a little stroke, is the most painful kind of thing that can happen. He said that so you'd know. I don't care if you do know, but I want you to know that I'm sure not asking you to take things that I wouldn't take. And I've always told you for years, if I heal people, I take it in my body. That's been the process of this paranormal factor. It is immensely painful, but I handle it, and so I don't ask to dish out anything. I'm sorry that we had to make this quick order of people to the learning crew. And I just want you to know that you're not in danger, because you've got to realize you've got your future here. In America, you have no future. You've got all the future in the world. We stood up and resisted this son of a bitch when all the leaders were out and the damn CIA was running and pulled the shots, and I won the battle on the PA system and on the front lines. I mean, on the shortwave. You were here. How many were here? We won the fucking battle. And if you ought to tell the story. It was a story of glory. I won. I said, anything happens, I got more radios. One of the things I worked out, even when the customs was still one little department that still got some agents in it. I demanded raise hell, and I raised so much hell it's you wouldn't believe it. I'm willing to lay down my life every time an issue comes up. Billy, Bruce, Clifford, all those cases, some that you don't even know came up. Ponce's surfaced, you didn't even know about it, because I didn't want Lois unduly worried, because Not that she's afraid, but then Tuppers came up and she didn't know about it. It's all back and through. It's over with. But each time I let them know I'm prepared to die. You follow me? The one thing I insisted was to have 4 extra radios. They weren't going to give them to me. They wonder what the fuck I want with them. What I want with them. I want to be sure at any time, anything comes our way, I can talk to the whole world. So nothing can happen in the corner. You see what I'm saying? We got 4 radios in good shape. They said, well, you don't need 1 radio at a time. I said, well, 4. And so we got 4 radios. You follow what I'm saying? Because things can go broke. And I want to be able to communicate, though I've got tremendous faculties to communicate in a level of mind beyond anything that I've ever seen in a mortal, and I don't believe it'll ever come again. I still don't believe in trying to use mine when you've got a radio. How many see the general picture? The harassment, all these things were going on, and it had kept on if we hadn't got one. So you that don't believe in ever using violence, and you won't spell out the word. If we had not used violence and stopped that man, we were getting this shit every weekend. Every goddamn miserable weekend we went through it. The last time they nearly killed Al, Simon, went through his hair. The bullet went right. Was it Al? Who is it? Where is that? Isn't that correct? It went right sizzling by beside you. Wasn't that you the person, huh? Yeah, well, they weren't playing. In other words, shot by his head. Very well. If we had not answered those people, and then when they tried to kill another one of our sons, what did we have to do? We had nothing to do. You can't be talking about stopping them. Temporary measure. They know temporary measure when somebody's got a knife to your neck. And that's what literally had, a knife to a person's neck. But I'm telling you, their major aim not to kill me at this moment. Why? Certainly I've got some energy. That's true. But I could be seen any place around here for 200 yards. They could have popped me off if somebody wanted to with a high-range rifle. So they want to worry me to death and let you kill me. They're afraid to kill me because they know then half the movement would react in violence. If I'd be lucky enough to be killed by, from their standpoint, by you just draining me, and this people tonight didn't do it, it just happened to be a triggering mechanism, then they'd get less reaction, they think. You must be prepared for reaction either way because they're calculating my death to be by a slow process. Because if they wanted to shoot me, they could have done it. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm not meditating on me, I'm meditating on you. I don't meditate, say, any night, don't shoot me. But frankly, I don't think I have to do much meditating that way. They want to harass us. They want some of you complainers to drain us. What time? 5 minutes. I'll tell them when 5 minutes is up and I'll quit. They want to drain us by people bellyaching. And I want to know how you feel if you'd like to be back in San Leandro and have 2 kids shot to death and nothing you can do because they're supposedly fleeing from the police but with no weapons. Anybody have any? I want these names. How many people are fearful of death because we want to help you? Not in any critical way. We got them all? Come on, be honest. Now, I appreciate you honest people. I really do, because there's a lot of people lying here. Now, come on, just be honest with you. Are we taking them down? I don't see. You're sure? Because I want us to talk. I want them to have counsel. Death is easy. I was in so much pain for some time before I went over. And then when you get close to death, oh, Lord, it's just easy. And I would have had no problem because I've done my best. You only have to worry when you're trying to commit suicide or you're trying to escape. I wouldn't have to worry about reincarnation. My next reincarnation couldn't help but be better than this. And I don't have to worry about reincarnation because I'm the one that can control that factor. And it wouldn't worry me. What was I trying to say? Now, who still misses America? We know, chap. Is it America? You miss America? Yeah, you miss your brother. Miss your children. Well, that's a natural thing. Would you be so kind to write that down? Because I will see. Like, I never. The sweetest things ever. One of my young men has a child. He had a child. He never, never told me about it. I had to find it out. He didn't ask me to do a thing for the child. But I want to get the child. I'd like to know about you that are having particular problems with your family. Just be sure, though, that some of you don't misjudge them. Some of them know the bastards that when they are. Bastards, and 99% of them are. Even so, when the thing gets bad enough and they want out, you know, because I love you, I'll help them. You know that. See what I'm saying? Now, will you put up your hands again, those that have Miss America? Would you tell me, sister in the black, I know your name, but I'm Flora LaFora Towns. Would you tell me what is you miss, son? Write it down, please. Well, some of your loved ones are coming. Well, I'm moving as fast as I can to get them here. Who misses their children? Well, write it down. What you do is where your children are. Will you write that down and have someone help me? Yeah, Lula? Some of you, what, honey? Yeah, okay. You're an awful good worker. Now, how many miss nothing more than loved ones? Anything else you miss? So-called loved ones. How many know that a lot of your loved ones, you're still looking at them with too positive an eye? You know, you see, if Mother Edwards' sister would get on and threaten her, if Mickey Touche threatens her parents, what makes you think yours wouldn't do it too? If Mary Griffith's child will go in and threaten to kill Mother and a whole bunch of others, and go in, and he shows exactly the only thing he's concerned about. He was hoping she was dead and found out she wasn't, because he went in and padlocked her house, trying to take over her house. Try to padlock it. That's all he was interested in. And you got to know that about relatives. That's where they're at. Because they've been trained. So any fears you do have, write them up. Will you please do that? Okay, stand, please. We've been out at 10:15, but we have a slight little problem. And I've got a slight problem now. These suckers have gone and given me a shot for my pain. And I still got pain. But they gave me such a shot that I'm out on cloud nine. No, it's very thoughtful, very thoughtful. Well, I just want them to understand that I'm not, I got my pain and I got on an empty stomach, I got whatever in the fuck you give me. And I feel like I like to vomit about 10 feet. So you tell your neighbor the three miracles. Believe me, you don't want drugs. They don't feel good.
And as soon as you tell your neighbor three miracles, walk out quietly. Use the back way to walk out. Plan it well. Right now we got to salvage to make money. Produce in those fields, please do, and think of every way we can of making money. Because we get a hold of some major means of making money, we've got a good sound future. Good night. I love you.
Here next to the commissary. Right next to the medical facilities, your showers, yeah, chocolate cake and candy and all that stuff. and you're right next to the beautiful showers, and you sit there and sew and knit and do all the things, look out the window and play with the children. Gee, no wonder. No wonder you like it so well. Of course, I do, too. I do, too.
Enjoying life. You know, some years ago, I had a rest home in the States, and I had raised my daughter and put her through college, and I was sympathizing with one of the patients, and she was fixing to get married, and she said to me, well, I think that's where they should be, in a rest home. They shouldn't intrude on our privacy. And I told her, I said, I'll never intrude on yours, but little did I think that Pastor Jones was going to give me a home and bring me this far to this beautiful land, and I'm very, very happy.
Bishop Jim Jones just came in the room, and he used to operate a care facility in the United States, and I know that he would like to address himself to that issue that you mentioned, Mom.
I guess you, of course, told how old Mother is, getting pressing up towards the 100 years. We're in the company of three of our fine seniors. Having owned a rest home and then turned it over to the church, I know a bit about what it means to grow old in advanced technological societies. It's not just a United States phenomenon. Unfortunately, due to the high standard of living that is presented to image-conscious people, both the son and the wife or the daughter and the husband have to work in order to maintain their own families. As a result, the elderly are often forced by circumstances to go into these rest homes. Unfortunately, these days, rest homes are not very rare, but very rarely, owned by private interest. They're in the hands of large corporations, transnational corporations, where there can be no personal touch. And to grow old, even though you may have known affluence, in homes where there is not one bit of personal touch or individual concern, is frightening. That's why you find so much zest. I couldn't help but enjoy the zest that I met in this room. And you might say these are not seniors who have been less privileged. They were seniors who had opportunity in the United States, had professions. Though they are now elderly, they chose not to live in the very fine convalescent homes that Western society provides, advanced technological or capitalist society provides. They chose rather to live in this lovely new terrain of Jonestown.
It's beautiful for me to see the meaning and the purpose that seniors have here. They have so much to contribute to our socialistic work, and I'm sure it has come. It's because they have, probably for the first time in their senior years, the opportunity to contribute. They know that they are cared for, that the people care about them, and also they have a chance to express themselves in so many ways and in so many activities, and particularly in the decision-making. And as a result, we are seeing things just develop at an incredible rate here and in a way that is in line with meeting everyone's needs. And this is something that means a lot.
And we can feel the support of the country. The government pursues a socialist course. The community institutions are socialists. What a difference it is to live in an environment that encourages a cooperative lifestyle rather than discourages it.
That's so true, and we certainly see it here. Today I was taking a tour of the project, and it really touched me to see how involved the seniors are in every phase of the work and activities here. I saw seniors growing their own garden, involved with the school program, in the medical clinic, sewing and knitting and just doing whatever they want to do. And I'm sure this is something that gives each senior, makes them look forward to every day, where before, in their former environments, they probably didn't even care about getting up in the morning.
That's true. That's certainly true, Mike. And also, one thing that I can appreciate, and I'm sure that all the rest of the seniors do too, is that in this beautiful place where the weather is so perfect, it's never too hot, it's never cold, it's just right, that in the middle of the night, even at 4 o'clock in the morning, a senior can get up out of bed, go for a walk all alone, and never have a thought of being mugged. It's something that we have never been able to do. We just couldn't take that sort of chance where we came from. But now we are free. We're free. That is the main thing. Socialism has given us this freedom. And, gee, we do thank Bishop Jones for all he's done, because certainly without his love and concern, we never would have had all this.
We do have all this because Bishop Jones dedicated his life to following the teachings of Jesus Christ, and he put into practice the equality that's found in the Acts of the Apostles. We want to thank our listeners and urge them to write us with their comments and suggestions as to how we can better serve this great country. Any donations that could be sent would be greatly appreciated, because it would help us in helping others. Our address is Post Office Box 893, Georgetown. On behalf of Bishop Jones and all of us here at the People's Temple Agricultural Project, may God's richest blessings be upon you. Greetings from the People's Temple Agricultural Project in Jonestown, near Port Kaituma of the Northwest District. I'm Mike Prokes, and I'm here with Bishop Jim Jones. One thing that people would like to hear about is the controversy that seems to have arisen with some wire service reports about a conspiracy against the People's Temple. Would you please put it in perspective for our listeners?
I wish I could. I am surprised, I'm shocked, that People's Temple, a pacifist church, though indeed a practicing socialist church, would be singled out for a conspiracy. We, of course, have been very much aware of it. We've felt the pangs of it in certain areas of the press. But now we hear civil rights leaders stepping forward, such reputable nature, who are no way connected with People's Temple, as the Indian movement leader, for one, Mr. Banks, Dennis Banks. And, of course, Mr. Banks is no way connected with People's Temple, nor are many others who have given affidavits of the most hair-raising variety. Mr. Banks was told that if he would cooperate in the destruction of People's Temple, he could redeem himself. But it was implemented in words that he would be paid handsomely. He would also be assured that he would have no future legal difficulties. He has been granted extradition by the governor of the state of California. He was warned if he didn't cooperate, there would be some bad ramifications in the courts. And, of course, indeed, what he was told took place. For the first time unparalleled in the history of the U.S. court system, a governor's order not granting extradition has been revoked by the court. Some of the things are too shocking to even describe until we have more detail. One of our pilots, a black young man who has been unable to get work at all, was suddenly offered a position in the high five figures, if he would work for a company that's involved in the conspiracy. Because we say involved in the conspiracy because one of their principal people that have marshaled the forces against People's Temple, and it's all started when we announced we were going to move and live in a socialist country such as Guyana. Many of the individuals who have been involved in the smear, all the sources, are connected with one individual who is an agent who works for the same firm, and it's not a matter of my speculation, it's a matter of public record now, there's an agent. Being orchestrated by another investigator who indeed has a criminal history that can be verified by anyone, 75 pages long. It's frightening, frightening indeed. We're seeing too much of this happening in the U.S. scene today. Andy Young has been vilified. But what shocks one is that we would be vilified for nothing more than we stand for socialism. I would like to give a lot of details. We can give names. We can give places, times that would cause any skeptic to be a believer. Upon inquiry to our church address, I think it's 893, Post Office Box 893, Georgetown, Guyana, we will do so. Because I don't want to involve the radio in actual personalities, the radio station that we're broadcasting from. They've put no restrictions upon us, but I feel a sort of moral responsibility. Each thing that I say, and could say at this moment, can be verified.
as I said, the criminal record of the chief orchestrating person.
Every one of the sources that have been used, everyone, bar none, have been involved in criminal activity, or were advocates and planners of terrorist action. That one, we are presuming now, with a great deal of testimony and affidavits, was a provocateur in the ranks of People's Temple until they were expelled because we are pacifist. And that position has been historic. Everyone who knew the functions of People's Temple here or in any missionary endeavor, we are pacifists. Socialists, but committed to the principles of nonviolence. It's quite a situation, Mike, as I say, to see yourself put in this light, set up actually that violence could be done against the entire organization. As one of the sources said, an outright lie, that I had spoken against the white race in terms of them being weak in certain areas and made aspersions on their sexual orientation. How horrible. As I say, in this pastoral community of nonviolence and peace and justice, as I hear even now from the school adjacent to us, the singing of Swahili, youngsters learning their background, becoming connected with their historic past, which gives them renewed pride. I can't understand, Mike, why People's Temple would be a threat to anyone.
Do you feel that this conspiracy was initiated against us because we tried to live as socialists in a capitalist society? Is that basically the reason?
Undoubtedly. However, I'm bewildered. I wouldn't even begin to try to give explanation. I can say that we've had a strong body of support. Cesar Chavez's farm worker movement, Angela Davis, Black Teachers Caucus, Black Legislative Caucus. I could enumerate hundreds of supporters, Lieutenant Governor of California, several Congress individuals, members of Congress, legislature, Willie Brown, perhaps one of the most renowned champions of civil rights, legislator from California. And we could go on and on with hosts of church leaders, head of the Council of Churches, who have come to our full support in this trying ordeal. And it's been hell, to put it mildly. But I presume that somehow, even though a group is practicing socialism 5,000 miles away, if it is a model and succeeding, that is a threat to certain reactionary elements in the United States.
Some of the harassment seems to have followed us here. Do you feel it's all part of the same conspiracy that originated in the States?
We are told by prominent attorneys such as Charles Gary and head of the Black Newspaper Publishers Association and many, many other civil rights spokespersons and socialist activists, as well as liberals, that we are indeed the victims of a gigantic conspiracy that has reached clear to this country. I'm surprised they have that kind of money available to them. We have had one instance of clear evidence of a person trying to come here to dispute a matter of custody where they had monies, resources that would be impossible for them to have on their own.
Do you feel that we are a big threat or represent a big threat because of the number of people? We have many hundreds here who are absolutely committed to live and to die for socialism.
I suppose that very testimony, whether it's in two or three or in hundreds, as we now have here on this Jonestown Community Project, and a few thousand back in the States, I presume the very fact that people are pacifist, committed to nonviolence, doesn't redeem them in the eyes of those who wish to oppress if they believe in some form of egalitarianism, and particularly if they've been so bold as we to name it socialism. That is unacceptable still to the community norm of the United States. As exemplified in the present administration of President Carter, I think certainly is trying to take a course of recognition of the right of countries to build their own form of economic order. But undoubtedly, at the grassroots level of the United States, there is a frightening increase of racism to such a degree that George Meany, a moderate labor leader of the AFL-CIO, has now said that we are endangered by Nazism, a fascist era. And unfortunately, People's Temple has been a practicing group of Christians who have demonstrated the Acts of the Apostles, and we have been on the side of every person that's been oppressed, even people we didn't agree with. And I suspect that that is the essential reasons, according to the authorities that we have spoken to, some of them at the very high levels of government who are sympathetic. That is the reason why People's Temple is being singled out for this kind of persecution.
What goals do you envision for the Jonestown community here?
To become assimilated into the Guyanese community at large. And of course, we're achieving that in many ways.